Imagine you're at a concert. You come in, you find your seat, and the musicians start to tune up. Finally, when everyone is ready, they strike up. At first, a wall of sound hits you, but as you listen in, you should be able to pick out the individual instruments. First, the melody of the violin. Then, if you focus a little more, you can pull out the deeper tones of the viola. In a quartet, there are just four instruments competing for your attention. But on an average day, humans have to contend with hundreds upon thousands of sounds.
And so when you're in a noisy environment, it can become difficult to pick out a single sound, like my voice, from the background noise. This is called sound masking. Dr. Alexander Gutschow studies sound masking at the University of Heidelberg in Germany.
There are two ways that a sound can be masked. One way is a sound can be masked just if it's in the same frequency range as another sound, and it's basically louder than the one, and then it's masked in the cochlea, so it won't get further processed in the brain. That's the one way. It's called energetic masking. The other way sounds can be masked hasn't been that well understood yet. It's basically by the complexity of all the signals that we hear. Our brain has a limited capacity, and by that way, once the auditory scene gets too complex, we may miss parts of a sound, and we call that informational masking.
Dr. Gutschow wanted to find out which part of the brain is responsible for filtering out the sounds we want to hear from the ones we don't. To do this, he asked volunteers to learn to recognise a number of tones. And then he asked the volunteers to listen out for those tones in a mixture of other sounds. When they heard them, they pressed a button. While they were doing this, Dr. Gutschow recorded the electrical activity in their brains.
The technique is called magnetoencephalography. It looks a little bit like a big hairdryer. The magnetoencephalogram records the magnetic fields that are induced by these tiny currents in the brain. And it's in a big room with a metal shielding, because the magnetic fields that we measure are so small that we need to shield all the other magnetic waves that we have outside. The magnetoencephalogram cannot see the deep parts of the brain, so we use it to see the activity in the auditory cortex.
Using this technique, Dr. Gutschow compared the magnetic waves coming from people's brains when they heard the hidden sound with when they didn't. The sounds made part of the brain light up, the bit we call the auditory cortex. But he found something else too. Just a fraction of a second later, this same bit of brain lit up again, but only when the volunteers identified the hidden tone.
One idea that we have about this is that at some point the auditory system splits what we're hearing in so-called auditory streams. We hear the stream of a speaker, we can hear the stream of a violin in an orchestra. And so we think that our brain splits auditory scenes, and that there is, let's say, a limited capacity for auditory streams, and that whenever you're in an environment where you have multiple sound sources, you need to separate them, because you kind of need to separate it before you analyze its content. Because if the sources are not separated, you would mix the content.
So it seems that, for humans, it's important to be able to separate sounds to allow us to recognize each of them. But what about for other animals?
We think that many animals do that pretty similar to the way that we do it. Certainly we think that, let's say, a monkey in the jungle does that, because if you've ever been to a jungle, that's a quite noisy environment, and you have to chat to all your other fellow monkeys, and then you still have to hear when the tiger's coming. So you still have to separate quite a number of sources there as well, yeah.
And in the human jungle, that is the office, there's another application for this research.
There is another thing where this kind of work is probably interesting, and that's for computers that try to understand our language. The computers are very well at understanding language in a silent auditory scene, but as soon as you have situations where there are a couple of voices, or just if there is noise in the background, the computers get quite bad at understanding the voices, much worse than we do. And so all the people who are working in computers, who they're quite interested in the mechanisms that are behind all these hearing mechanisms that we have in the brain.